Let's say this podcast got mentioned by Joe Rogan, went insanely viral. Suddenly our SEO would go, like everybody, all the SEO around our companies we work for and our brands and everything would go up our names, right? So there is a way to correlate it. But I guess what I'm asking is, like, do you think, let's say even we put this out and four people watch it and two people click on it, and then I don't know what the stats are, right? But it's like, let's say it was just very minimal. Somewhere deep in that algorithm, that's better than us not having anything.
Welcome to Unmiss, your go-to digital marketing hub. I'm Anatoly Ulatovsky, here with expert tips and exclusive chats to boost your online game. Let's get started.
Hello, good people. Welcome to our show. Hello, bad people. Welcome to the show. Welcome. Today we're going to discuss more about AI, about SEO. We can touch four, because today it's tough to ignore AI. That was simple before, but impossible tomorrow. Google uses AI for a long time to rank websites. It's not like to have great content and backlinks. Different time, we don't know how the machine can rank website by using this AI, and we need to adapt to anything that happens in digital marketing to get results in SEO. I'm so excited to discuss a lot more with Jalali Hartman. How are you?
Hey, good to see you again. Thanks for having me on here.
Yeah, big pleasure. Wanna learn more? You share valuable bombs with me in my first podcast, so I decided to invite you one more time to discuss about this topic. Digital marketing is a quickly changing world. In SEO, many things happen. You need to adapt, you need to go ahead to change the strategy. And especially today, when we have AI, it's a powerful tool. It's not like big companies can use. It's accessible for anyone. And you need to adapt, especially in content creation, in creating tools, development, everything what we have. Before we start, just remind more about yourself, experience, background, and anything that could help our listeners to learn more about you.
Oh, yeah. So I have an interesting, I have a unique background that I actually started in SEO in 1998. So web design and SEO. So that was my first business. And now I guess it's 20 plus years later, I'm back in SEO. And the reason is this, is that, and then we were kind of chatting about this before the show, is SEO is one of the most immediate real world money making, revenue changing, business growing uses of AI there is. So we're hearing a lot of, at least here in the US, a lot of like buzz, everybody's using ChatGPT and making AI driven videos and stuff like that, and the content side of it is great, right? It's like, takes the part of, we used to have like big teams of bloggers that had to blog. It's kind of, you know, kind of knew that automation was coming. But what I'm seeing is it's now the same kind of set of skills that you might have used to optimize SEO, which is basically tuning one of the world's first AI engines, the PageRank, the Google PageRank, like you mentioned, has kind of equipped that group of people with the same skills to kind of tune all of these engines that are going on. And that ranges from like a TikTok feed to a Google AdWords campaign, all the way to really SEO, which is the kind of the jackpot when you can crack that. You know, it's all really just signaling a big machine, a set of machines, certain things. And so we've all been doing that for years. And I was doing that for years. I took a diversion into like real like physical robotics, like building automated machines, and I still do some of that, but the industry where it's needed is in this setting up and tuning your business systems and your marketing so that it properly feeds these machines. And so I just think it's kind of fun that there's this big group of people, and really the SEO experts were from the beginning the ones that were driving a lot of that small business growth and got everybody online and went around. Then it became like local listings and different things, at least, you know, here in the US it was a big like maps push. And now it's really like this integrated set of signals that start with Google, from my opinion. You know, you're trying to kind of appease the Google engine and then goes all the way down through all your funnels. So all along the way, you have to have goals set up right. And correct keyword strategies and the right content and the right amount of touches, right? And it's all this big orchestrated machine that SEOers kind of naturally do. So that's what I think is exciting to anybody that's in that industry and understands the basics of that optimization, really can kind of zoom out now and say, okay, where else are these machines? Do we need to like properly educate and feed these machines? So that's what I think is kind of fun about this.
Nice. Love it. Love it. I want to ask about you decided to get back to SEO for some time, for a while. And do you think it's a good idea today? Of course, SEO is a powerful channel. SEO brings more traffic than, I don't know, than at any time. But today, chatbots can reply to many questions much faster. For example, I decided to buy new Tesla in Florida. So what okay. I did, I started to research, can I use Autopilot self-driver's feature in Florida? And I asked this question on Google. I searched on Google, but I couldn't find a simple answer to simple question. I found a lot of content about Tesla, about electric cars, about saving the world. But of course, you need to save the world. I 100% with that. But I searched for something else. And when I asked the same question on ChatGPT, I got the answer for a few seconds.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, the same. I got experience when I decided to open new business again in Florida. So I asked on Google, please list documents that I need to have to submit to open business. And I got a lot of content. Why I need to open business? What kind of business I can open? How I can earn money to open new business? 100% irrelevant. But when I searched the same question on Bard today to Gemini, I got the answer for 3 seconds. According to data, 12% of users, including me, switched from Google to chatbots.
Interesting. Yes.
Yeah, and
Bing's,
you know,
Bing's doing the same thing. Yeah, you can barely get a search in on Bing. So.
Yeah, and. I'm curious about the future of SEO. No, I think I remember when SEO experts complained that Google can steal our content to list feature snippets, other blogs, but I think all of them will miss this time when Google link to our content because chatbots don't link, you know? They just still rewrite and provide generative experience. What do you think about the future of SEO, you know, considering that chatbots can take some part of this pie?
Well, first of all, you just changed my thinking. You're the first person in a while that got me, okay, wait a second. Well, actually, all of search is changing. So that's the problem that you're saying. I will argue back, though, on that you are just by nature, you right there are optimizing for the current technology without even realizing it, right? So you've already moved over to the other one, and that's going to be a whole nother game that we have to figure out. How do we, if they're just stealing our content, mashing it up and giving answers, like how do we play against those machines, right? From a business perspective, it totally changes everything. So you're totally right. Like I did not think about that, and that is changing. I think at the core of that engine, though, they're kind of using the search engines, right? So to get the info in the first place. So it's like there is still what you do as an SEO or a marketing executive or someone that's running campaigns for someone, right? It's like signaling all of that and setting up either success or failure or growth or decline in your market, right? So somehow, but that's interesting, is the next optimization. And you bring up a good thing. How can let's say an agency of the future, what is an agency of future? I see all the ones cropping up that make content, help you like use ChatGPT to make content or have built a layer around ChatGPT. Like that's, I think there's a lot of businesses that will succeed and fail like in that industry, it'll kind of get fleshed out. But like, what is the core optimization of a chatbot? Right, like how could you get even zoomed out even further and say, I want to go 5 years in the future and I want to make sure that somehow my brand or my solution or something is like what they think is popular, right? It's going to be, and then you're probably going to have a machine that does that for you, right? The other side to it that is interesting to me that I've heard, and I've heard a couple of different things, some of my friends and some we just had like discussions about, is the way an octopus, when it's trying to evade, will just send a big oil, like big smoke screen or whatever. So it's like, you can't tell, you, it confuses everything. And that would be the other way, is feed so much slightly varied information out that the chat engine can't figure it out, can't use it unless you have authorized it or you've licensed it or something. Does that make sense? Like, I could make like 10 million profiles of myself, all a little bit different. And when you went to go to try to find me on LinkedIn, it'd be like, who, which one is what? Right? It's like nearly impossible. Now, you'd get shut down doing some of that stuff. But this is, I would just challenge the community as a whole, is that's a really, really good point. Where's that going? And then how can we, as technologists, kind of like plan for that? And we may have been beaten, man. That's the thing that I'm a little bit worried about.
Yeah.
I don't know that humans are going to be able to manipulate algorithms anymore. You know what I mean? In terms of like making it think that you're the best rank or something like that. Like, I just,
yeah,
we're almost past
today,
that.
Today, so. It's tough. Yeah. I remember that was simple, and I did it. I started in 2008 to game the system I manipulated, because I didn't know another way how to get traffic. We created content for search engines. Yeah. We had a team of writers wrote about anything. I gave them all topics, weight loss, finance, anything, whatever. They wrote Google Rank. We bought many backlinks that our competitors had. We ranked websites. Today, I don't use this strategy.
No.
Google fired all this team. Okay, I fired these people, but Google pushed me forward to fire people who can write about anything. I cooperate with experts who can write about one specific topic, who have a proven record. I cooperate with them because I know quality is more important than anything else. If you have no quality, I have no idea how to game the system. Google is smart. It's a big system. If you still have some methods to cheat, I'm pretty sure people can do it. But it's not powerful, and Google is working hard to change it now. So, but if you play by rules, if you use white hat SEO, you can get results in some time. Probably it takes years. It's okay. It's normal. I often see it, but it's possible. It's possible if you focus, if you choose the right strategy. And you mentioned about keyword strategy. Can you tell your methods how to find the right strategy? I mean, like, I often see when companies chase high volume keywords, but it doesn't mean that you can rank them because it's competitive. And the second, it doesn't mean you can sell by having these keywords. You need to compete with Wikipedia, other websites. For example, even if I have keyword SEO, how I can overcome big websites like Moz, Nilpotl, Ahrefs, Google itself. Even if I find resources, because anything is possible, how I can monetize this keyword because it's not related to my products. It's better to find the right strategy. Can you tell your methods how to do it right?
Yeah, that's interesting about the keyword strategy. So what I've seen a lot in my career, and I'm sure you have too, is an SEO will pick, like they'll pitch a SEO package that is a set of keywords that's pretty non-competitive that they're going to be able to show growth on. Whereas the team or the business owner or the executives are very fixated or focused on some core words that are really competitive, high volume, very hard to get. And so then you end up with this intersection of like long tail words and short tail words, and you're just trying to show consistent growth, like, you know, hoping that the breadth and depth of the words that you add will ultimately result in more sales. But that's, you kind of hit on a point of, we can't, it's very hard to solve this. Even the, like, very, we think we're solving it and we get little blips of gains and things like that. But really, you want to be popular on the internet, be popular on the internet, right? You want to have a lot of SEO be the front page of the newspaper. You know what I'm saying? It's rewarding what is actually popular. So I have a question for you though. Obviously this podcast plays into your strategy. you know, or does it, or you don't, you do this just, you, I know you enjoy doing it and you have some great guests on and some good topics, but is there an SEO strategy or like, what is the strategy behind a podcast?
I think I have different goals, and my goal is to build network, and I cooperate with many experts who can speak on my podcast. I have cohesive projects with them. We created a course with great experts. We create cohesive content. I cooperate with many of them. It helps me. I can't say that this podcast for SEO, I'm sorry. And, but I think podcasting is great format. And if we speak about digital marketing, it doesn't mean that we have only SEO. Digital marketing is huge. We have social media, podcasts, webinars, and it's better to find your strong side. Podcasting is format, I can't say it's good for SEO. And I analyzed some podcasts. It's tough to get traffic with podcast episodes, because you compete with keywords that optimize for specific keywords. Yeah. Much better content, much quality content. And if you're not Joe Rogan, probably it's tough, or Paul Logan, some famous influencers who can get, because people are looking for podcasts with Joe Rogan. Yeah, that way, probably it works well. But in other cases, it's tough. But you can win audience by starting your podcast. You can build network. You can, because if you create content, it doesn't mean that you need to get traffic only with SEO. Any other channel, social media groups, paid marketing. So for me, podcast is very important to build my network, to cooperate with great experts, to connect with them, to have cohesive projects. And even when I need to speak with some of my customers, it's tough to explain. Yeah. I usually share my episodes, and kind of look at, listen to this episode, you can learn from this expert. They're great, you know, they provide valuable insights. You can learn from them, because many people are not familiar with some different approaches. You can share episodes. I always do it, episodes with Perry Cozzoni, with Neil Patton, many great experts. For me, it's okay, you know, to build your audience like this. But yeah, podcasting is a great format for me.
So this is, so I hear you. There's sometimes there's no real tangible, you know, it's hard to say exactly. I have seen things in running large campaigns, like when you get up and spend, and like say you're spending, like you're driving tens of millions of impressions, and it's, you know, like it's, there's a big difference between spending and not spending. There's a definite correlation between that and a brand's SEO. So you just, more people searching. So let's say this podcast went, got mentioned by Joe Rogan, went insanely viral. Suddenly our SEO would go, like everybody, all the SEO around our companies we work for and our brands and everything would go up, our names, right? So there is a way to correlate it. But I guess what I'm asking is, like, do you think, let's say even we put this out and four people watch it and two people click on it, and then, I don't know what the stats are, right? But it's like, it's, let's say it was just very minimal. Somewhere deep in that algorithm, that's better than us not having anything. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's, it's like, it's a little signal. It's like, so a signal. It's like, this was content and somebody liked the content, and then next, right? So I believe that you could build, and you probably are doing this, you, like if you just did this long enough, that you would have the network built. It's like Metcalfe's law of networks, where you just, you know, you just keep, it's like an exponential growth. The more nodes there are, the more connections there are, is more valuable it all is to everybody. The other thing that I found is, and this is the one thing, if I go back in my career, is like, these are long games. So like, if you start a website or a business idea or something, it's very easy when you start getting the bills for it all, like the hosting bill and all, you spent a little on AdWords or whatever, to just say, I'm going to close that down, right? It's not working. And then to come to find out, I've had things where I forgot about the business. I set up a whole Etsy store and I came back and I had like a dispute because somebody had bought like $800 in product and I forgot I had set it up. You know what I mean? Like, just, it was years ago. So I think there's something to having a long-term strategy with our businesses. And that's if you're a brand, a big like company or a small businesses, these small little clicks and visits and things do add up. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to get rich off it all, or that every website you make is going to be a successful funnel or anything like that. But I'm just like, I think what you brought up a good point is it could take years sometimes to see the impact of even adding a link somewhere. You want it to be faster, right? Because you like need to hit revenue goals and so on. But I don't know. I think it's valuable real estate. So that's why I've been following what you've been doing. I'm real interested in how it kind of turns out, because I think
And about years, I can tell. I have no idea how to become an Instagram star overnight. I have no idea how to win in paid marketing fast. It takes time to collect data, to analyze, to create content, even in paid marketing. You can't set up campaign in one day.
Yeah.
It's impossible. You need to cooperate with great experts in CRO who can create these landing pages. I know companies that lost 500K fast in paid marketing to get zero leads. Yeah, because you know, you don't need to jump fast. It's better to analyze, to experiment, to spend time, to learn about your customers, their pain points, and then only jump at any field. And for me, it's very important today to think more about marketing attribution. So when you create content in different channels and analyze how it works, because customers need to get 7 touches, you know, if they can see your video, listen to your podcast, read your blog article, and if in the right time they can buy your products, you know. So, and it's okay to bring value first. So content marketing works well if you bring value, if you help at many channels, and then you can submit call to action to sell your products. Yeah, I want to ask about AI automation. Can you tell how you do it? I mean, like, do you help to automate ChatGPT API or anything else? I mean, like, how you find what kind of problems you can decide with AI and your process to set up?
Yeah, so the first thing I do is I avoid using AI. So I never seek to use AI. It's like a lot of times that's like your ego. You want to do something with AI, so you like make it way more complicated. The main gist of my job and my career at this point is setting up signaling properly. So once you understand like the input that a physical, just think about Google as a big physical robot that you're having to give very specific instructions to in a certain context, or it can't understand where to go, where to drive, what's an object, what's not an object. So you're kind of trying to command that thing. And so what I spend a lot of time is trying to understand in the analytics how the algorithms are working. So I'm making changes and then look at what the result was. Like you said, it's really what A/B testing is, but the A/B testing can almost help you uncover how things are working, right? So, you know, if it's what devices they're coming in on, what is the path they're taking? Why are they abandoning? What common errors are they having? How do the end ad engines that you're paying a lot of money to, how do they see your funnel, right? Do they understand what a lead is versus a qualified lead versus a customer? Do they know what the value is? Like, if you're not feeding those machines 100% accurately, you can't ever expect it to work great. Now, they do a good job of working for you despite our own ineptitude with setting these things up. But a lot of this stuff, a lot of the successes come from just very, very kind of astute attention to detail on, are my tags correct? Like, what is this? What are these analytics saying exactly? Right? Like, does this make sense? Are people like, how are they using my website? And then, you know, I'm sure you've done this when you get into like conversion rate optimization. You know, actually there's like great things like Hotjar and different apps that you put on there where you can see exactly how people can like record how people are using your websites. And I've been amazed like at how I've had jobs where I've spent months trying to optimize a funnel and then found out there was like a bug on 40% of the browsers. You know, it's like I know it happens all around, but it's just, you just want to go crazy because of how much money you wasted on that. Or literally, like a lot of them, I've had multiple times where like the leads were just going nowhere. The dev made an update. That email no longer works. We haven't got a lead in like 3 months from this one product. Well, it's because it was like going to spam or like the thing got shut off. Like, so like I'm always looking for that stuff first. Then I'm looking, okay, what story am I telling to all these machines that are listening to me? Is that way I approach it next. Now you can get like very detailed if you want to get into the AI algorithms and create stuff of your own. Like if you're a mature, very mature organization, you're thinking like, this guy's talking about stuff I do all the day, all the time. Then I think you want to go into building your own data lakes and really getting detailed beyond things like Google Analytics, you know, pulling all of your sources of information, your lifetime values and your, all these touches. So that really resonated with me because I saw a stat. I don't know if it's true, but the average chief marketing officer lasts about a year. And the main reason that that is true is because of attribution. The executive team not understanding attribution, that it is a multi-touch process, and that most people in that year, it's a, like the people that convert to a sale or a customer in that year while they're employed, it's a tiny percentage of people that have been in that journey, right? Getting touched out there. So, but at the same time, these companies have very specific like financial goals. Got to get X number of leads, this Z number of sales, Y number of revenue. So, and attribution's a fuzzy math, right? So for those of you that are listening, like what is attribution? It's just whatever math model you're using to like we were talking about, to add up the touches that eventually get somebody to convert. And if you think that it's just, they just search and buy, that's totally false. I think it probably happens occasionally, but we're all seeing stuff and like thinking about stuff based on ads we've seen and content we've seen, and then we go buy. And we don't even realize we're doing it. So yeah, anyway, to answer your question, AI is a set of signals. I don't care if it's a physical or a virtual machine. You need to understand what data you're feeding it and what data they need. So,
And how do you check this data? You mentioned you need to submit only 100% accurate data. I know it's tough with AI.
Yeah.
We check all the time, but how you check and correct this data?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think some of that will come. I think some of that comes just with understanding the funnel. It's like my first question to anybody listening to this is, do you yourself totally understand the touches and the value? Do you understand the value to your organization approximately of somebody watching this podcast? Probably not exactly, but you're probably more advanced than some in terms of understanding. Yeah. Eventually somebody will like need a service or will buy somehow. Right. But like most of us have no clue ourselves. Like, in fact, we don't even know if we spend $10, do we make $10 back? We kind of see revenue go up. Like that's the most common scenario that I see in businesses that I've been in, is like when you're first starting, you're just pretty vague about your metrics. So start there. And then I'm always plotting everything I can find from a company, like everything about the product, every kind of trend I can see. I'm looking for trends and outliers. So like, are we trending down? Are we trending up? Are certain categories just way off the charts? That's what kind of informs you. Okay, well, this is how we can optimize this thing. But again, it's just understanding that any AI system wants a nice clean set of data, and they want you to kind of feed it a certain way. Like you can tell when you work after you work with ChatGPT for a while, you like get good at guiding it better. Like if you ask it for too much at once, can't figure it out. If you ask for stuff too recent or with no information on the web, can't figure it out, right? Like, so you have to kind of like build your way into it. And to me, the SEO and the pay-per-click and all this stuff is very easy. It's like Google publishes exactly what they want. Like Google has a conversion goal section in their AdWords section, right? That's all of your different types of conversions. And then you can value them. You can optimize bidding based on what happens down the funnel. So if you're sitting there, I think the next thing that is the biggest challenge is just the sizes of data we're dealing with. Like at Google thinks in terms of like, I don't know exactly where they're at. It's like 10 grand a month in ad spend is small, right? So then you get a small business, which everybody's like, that'd be a large budget for any business that I have, right? It's like, so, you know, we're dealing with tiny, tiny incremental like conversion numbers and like one conversion out of 100 clicks and stuff like that. So we're actually not, that's not what those systems are designed for. Right. And it's like coming out of Silicon Valley, and it's a little bit of this like, well, everybody spends $100 million on marketing. Like, well, let's just make it for that kind of customer, right? Like, you have to think of where they came from. It was like, you know, big ad spends. So market moving kind of ad spends with hundreds of millions of dollars everywhere. So it's like, that's what those systems are designed for. And they've done a good job of trying to adapt them for people like small businesses. But you have to look at your data and say, like, are we even like, do we even have data? You know, if we have 10 conversions on a new product, it's just not like, it's tiny. It's not, it's like a speck in the sea of data. So that's the problem. And so you have to get good at overlaying your human intuition and your marketing expertise with the information you're looking at and saying, okay, here's my little strategy. I'm going to test it and see if it works. And if so, I'm going to call it a win and move on to the next part of the strategy. Whereas a big company that was like really wanted to truly test something would spin up enough impressions so that they'd get valid test data within a day or two and can move on to the next challenge, you know, the next kind of optimization. And that's what they're really designed. So that's where the marketer comes in my opinion, is like they can bridge that gap. It's like your self-driving Tesla. Like self-driving works, but it works a lot better with someone sitting in the seat watching over it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that could grab the wheel if they needed to. And that's kind of what you have to do as a smaller business, or you're not like the big brands of the world trying to use these engines, is you've got to just kind of overlay your own logic a little bit.
Nice. Love. Let's talk about SEO mistakes. Can you list mistakes that SEO companies, agencies can do with AI from your experience? And how to find a much better way?
How to find what? Sorry.
A better way. I mean, like to avoid these mistakes.
Yeah. The number one mistake I've done myself is spend a lot of time in the SEO content, marketing, all of that. And actually my site doesn't load quick enough, or there's some like, or in the early days, it would be the site had gotten compromised and I didn't know it. Right. So there'd be some malware on there. Like, why is this SEO not going anywhere? But I wasn't savvy enough to like scan it at the time, or it was very early. So that's my first thing, is like, are your basics in place and do you understand the metrics? Google has that site speed website where you can just plug your site in and see how it ranks. They'll even tell you what the errors are. So like, do not disregard those things. So these are public things that they're publishing, saying these are the signals we're looking for. And yet we still just don't pay attention to it sometimes, right? We're very focused on like how our sites look, or this new blog article that we made or whatever. But they're telling us, basically, we are a company that wants to give the best possible search result for the device the person's on, and which is a lot of the times now mobile. So you better make sure that your mobile flow works better than your desktop, and you better make sure, right? There's a lot of stuff that just blocking and tackling that you got to get right. That how to keep up with all that stuff. Google Search Console, make sure your sites are verified in Google Search Console and let them tell you what's wrong with it, and do not stray from that. And yeah, there are a lot of tools out there, other tools. And I'm not even like, I'm just mentioning Google because it's like, we all know it's like a big source of the internet traffic, but they kind of give us these tools that we just need to make sure are set up properly, is really what it is. So.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I want to ask about your strong side in SEO and AI. You know, I speak with many great experts, and if anyone can have their own strong side, for example, I can feel that I'm jack of all trades because I manage great people. I can create great content. I can get good backlinks, but I can cooperate with great people. So my strong side is management, to find great experts, to give them right tasks, to analyze the results. But if I want to compete with them in specific topic, they can beat me in one side, you know, many of them. And right. Can you tell about your strong side? Where you can help much more than your competitors?
Where I can help much more than what? Sorry?
Than your competitors.
Than my competitors?
Yeah. Other agencies, freelancers, consultants, whatever.
So first of all, personally, I'm not looking for any work at the moment. I have a really good job. In terms of like out competing people digital marketing in general, I've been doing this a long time. I would not attempt it myself without the tools. So at this point, I do not know what landing page works best. I do not know what's going to convert best. I set up a framework and let the tools do the work. In terms of competing with other people, I think you kind of mentioned earlier is it's the intersection, like good strategy in business in general is that intersection between a large amount of demand and a small amount of supply. So if you are competing and you're trying to compete, you better very well have a good strategy and resources to do that at this point, right? Because you are not going to bring down someone that's has more authority than you on it, because that's the way this system works, right? It's the engines are smart about it and they know who is who. So your kind of strategy of collaborating with everybody, I think, is really the best one that I've seen. And you like, it's hard. It's a lot of work though, right? Like you put a lot of time and energy into it. But there is no other way, right? Like, cause if you're just trying to pick away at everybody that say has ever been on your show versus working with them, collaborating with them and sharing, I guess it brings up a bigger thing that I don't know what this is exactly, because we're all kind of doing this anyway, but like, you know, it started with backlinks, like backlinks exchanging was a very rudimentary kind of thing. So what is the next version of that in this marketing community? Like, how can we all work together so that we, if I need this market and you need that market, we could somehow both get both markets, you know? Like, I don't know what it is. It's because it's just a whole bunch of signals. We're just creating content and sending signals around the content in a certain way that drives what gets seen out there. So anyway, I think it's an interesting thing.
Yeah, nice. And I have only one question left, very important question for my audience, about your daily routine, how you start your day, how you finish your day, how you find the balance in family, your job, other actions, I don't know, sport, anything. So tell your methods how to optimize your daily routine, because I cooperate with many great people. Yeah. Many of them have plus 100 things to do every single day, me too. But I usually use three things, delegate, do myself, or ignore. And most of them I ignore because I have no time and resources to do everything. So tell your methods how to optimize your day.
Yeah, I love that question. In fact, to anybody that's like just starting out here, you know, like it's easy to have success and easy to have like good careers and stuff like that. Very hard to be happy and be balanced, right? So at the same time. So that's the challenge here in this new, I think this new era, we do need to be healthy and happy at the same time. So I love that question. So the first thing I do is I plan my time. I try not to let others plan my time. So I have very specific goals that I'm trying to reach every week and month and quarter, whether it's for my job or in my own personal kind of financial goals or physical, mental, spiritual goals, where I want to become a better person or better disciplined. The next thing I do is regardless of what is going on, and I don't care if there's a meltdown, I'm going to get some exercise, some sunshine, some good food and water, eating healthy. For me, it's I have to get that exercise. Because I could easily sit at the computer and work on different things all day and night. Like it's like, you know, it can really come at you fast. I deliberately make the time. I saw a stat the other day, the average person touches their phone 2,000 times a day. So I'm like refusing to do that, even though I have two phones and like three computers. I'm taking times where I turn it all off. And even in a notebook, jot down again, okay, like what is it I'm trying to accomplish? And like, why am I doing it? Kind of, you know, you don't get a second chance on your youth, on your health, right? Like, so you never want to sell your soul to a company or to a project, right? You always want to make sure that you're balanced and happy. That's what makes you effective at it. if I have big meetings or things where I have to be really on, I will take the time to do some self-care ahead of time. I think that's important. Like for me, I like to go swim. Maybe I'll go to a hot spring. Maybe I'll buy some new clothes or get my hair cut, right? Like kind of get in a strong mental thing. Never reply to something mad or out of emotion. You can, a lot of times we create a lot of these stresses and conflicts in our life just because we're, or our workplace, because we're like reacting, when in reality there wasn't anything meant by it, or, you know, you need to just like let it slide kind of thing. But yeah, like I think I'm probably over-organized at this point. I used to be less organized, but it's, yeah, I do everything in a spreadsheet. I have very specific goals. If I can't get through all the goals, like you said, I kind of actually have a little thing where I make check marks. Well, at least I contributed one action towards that goal. You know, like I made progress towards it in some way. And then I have a group of accountability partners, like people that, you know, like even if you're having a hard time over a project or a situation, like, are you operating with discipline and integrity and giving it your all at the same time? So I think there's a lot of stuff is just surround yourself with good people and don't get so distracted. Be very purposeful about what you're trying to accomplish. Even if it's the wrong thing, at least you're going in one straight direction.
Yeah, I agree. Love it. I think it's okay to do wrong things because sometimes you don't know which one is right or wrong, and it takes time to figure out. And when people make mistakes, I do a lot of mistakes. I keep doing them. And for me, it's okay to have mistakes, because I usually do them because in my skill set that I have, without experience, it's tough to get great results. For example, I studied PR to fuel my link building strategy, to get facilitated websites, and we paid $6,000 for one press release to write and pitch. But we needed to write 12 press releases a week. It's a lot. And what I did, I wrote a bunch of press releases. I don't remember the number, probably plus 100. I wrote all of them, I pitched all of them, I got zero mentions, zero results, nothing. But I learned how it works. Then I explained to our experts who can create content for blog content that PR is a different format. We need to share about trending topics, to bring something new to the table, to share an expert opinion, to bring bullet points. And we got mentions on CNN, Bloomberg, Business Insider, big websites, and today we save plus $3 million, you know, on PR because of failing. I made a lot of terrible mistakes, but I acquired experience, and I have no idea how to get this experience without having these mistakes. I learned a lot about PR. I spent so much time to learn about PR, but without practice, it's nothing. You need to make your hands dirty to understand how it works and organize and manage the process. So I agree. I like your reply. Jalali, it's a big pleasure to get in the show back. I love this experience. You know how to share valuable insights. Tell the best way how to keep learning from you, how to reach out to you, how to follow you.
Yeah. Oh, how to follow me. Search, look me up on LinkedIn. I'd love to connect with you. And if anybody has any questions, I'm always happy to help. It's fun. It's fun. Like, I think the most rewarding part of all this at the end is, like, you know, you learn, like you said, you get this experience, but then you can help some other people. They don't have to go through 100 press releases necessarily, right?
Yeah.
So maybe they only have to do 25 of them. You know, everybody should do a few, you know, just to get. Yeah. So, but anyway, great to be on. Did I understand correctly? You moved to Florida. Are you in Florida?
Yeah, I'm in Florida.
Excellent.
Yeah, good place. No, I love this place. Awesome place. Yeah.
Yeah,
originally I'm from Ukraine, but it's tough in Ukraine now. We have this.
Yeah.
It's a war, you know. I still have business in Ukraine. I help donate them, speak with my team every single day. I have relatives, friends. Yeah, it's tough. It's really tough. I hope Ukraine will win this war, or I don't know what kind of future will be. It will be so difficult for all countries around the world, but yeah.
I know. Whatever. It's very difficult. It's been 2 years, I know. So horrible. But anyway, well, hopefully you're enjoying the warm Florida sun. I lived in Florida for about 10 years. It's great.
Wow.
So, yeah. I was in Jacksonville area. So, all right. Well, great. I'll talk to you soon. And thanks for having me on here. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And let's all continue to work together.
Yeah, nice. Guys, you can find the link to LinkedIn account in the description below. I recommend to anyone to follow Jalal Karpman on LinkedIn, because I follow, I need more valuable insights. I can't make myself an SEO expert, because I know I'm a student, I need to learn. And if something works today, it doesn't mean that I can get great results tomorrow. It's important to adapt and move fast. If you do it faster than your competitor, you will be fine. Okay, guys, love you. See you.
Thanks for tuning in to UNMISS. Enjoyed the show? Drop us a review on your favorite platform and help us spread the digital marketing wisdom. See you next episode.